Well, guys, hey, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Brian. I'm the lead pastor here and grateful that you'd spend some time with us here today. If you're brand new here, we just want to let you know you can start a conversation with us with your cell phone. Just text IMNEW to 797979. That'll begin a conversation with us so we can get you connected here at Crossroads. We do offering a little bit differently around here also, though. We actually do three different ways. One is online, crossroadsgrace.org/give. One is on our free app that you can give directly on the app. Or the other way is in person. As you exit today, you'll notice some boxes that say offering on them, a way for you to give back to God what he's already generously given to us. Another way for you to connect with us as a new person, whether you went to this or not or never have, we'd love for you to join us at our newcomer's dessert. It's tomorrow night, Monday night, November 26th, not December yet, November 26th, a free event where you can find out a little bit more about us as a church, where we've been, how we're going to be moving forward. Our staff will be there. You can meet some of them. I'm leading that class. Would love for you to join us there. Free childcare is a part of that and free dessert. You just need to let us know that you're coming by registering online. You can do that by going to the website, and they'll show you a little bit more about that. Last week, we announced that our service times for Christmas Eve are here, and we are pumped up about it. We have got so many services to choose from. Front row's coming. Y'all, I don't know if you're coming or not, right? So we got nine services to choose from, starting on Thursday, December 20th at 7 p.m., then on Sunday, 9, 11, and 1, then on December 24th at Monday, 1, 3, and 5 p.m., and then evening services of 9 and 11 p.m. Those 9 and 11 p.m. services are different. Candlelight, stripped down music, it's just going to be amazing. Last year, we blew the doors off the place. I want you to invite some of your friends also and be a part of those with us. And then again, last week we announced some pretty exciting stuff that outside of this, we also are going to be having services in a prison, in a hospital, and in four nursing homes around our community. And so we're very, very excited about that. As we're entering into these new areas, volunteer opportunities are a little limited when it comes to things outside of that. So just be prepared that we might not have active volunteer areas for those four other areas or five other areas I mentioned. But right here, there's lots of opportunities, which we'll talk about next week for you to be a part of. And as you leave today, you'll also have a few of these left. You can grab these popcorns and invite some people to those services. But believe me, we'll have more opportunities and different things for you to use also. But I'm excited. Last weekend was just monumentally mind-blowing when we went from Thursday all the way to Sunday. God moved in our church in some big, big ways. In fact, to the tune of 131 people, they got baptized. 131 people. So cool. Still trying to process that. And if you are one of those wet heads here in the room, man, just welcome. We are excited for you. And then another thing to let you know about is that last Friday, we ended our Rooted journey. Rooted is a 10-week discipleship journey that 1,111 people, yep, 1111, all went through as a part of this journey to become closer to God. And so on the Friday, we actually had a celebration service to cap off the event. And I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. So we wanted you to take a look. Here's what it looked like. Come on, that was sweet, right? That was pretty sweet. So 131 different stories represented in those waters, but the one right there at the end I think is kind of special. If you remember, we did a $5 challenge just recently where we were able to give a car away to somebody in our church, a little Monica driving around on her scooter. You might have seen her around here. That last one that you saw, it took three or four people to get her into the baptistry. That was her getting baptized, right? So that's some awesome, awesome stuff just happening at our church. So very, very proud to be the pastor of this church, but very excited about what the future looks like and grateful that we are rooted in Christ. So if you missed out on a chance to be a part of Rooted, January, another round starts, so don't miss out. We are going to do the same type of thing. It's going to be a great experience. Make sure that you sign up for that. Guys, listen, today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, so if you have your Bibles with you or your Crossroads Grace apps, open Galatians chapter 5. We'll be there in just a second. And if I haven't already told you, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hopefully you had a wonderful time and you're kind of recovering from the tryptophan of all the turkey and you're not going to fall asleep in service any more than you normally do. So I'm just really glad that you're here. And another thing too is you should know Team Hunt, we went down, that's what we call ourselves, Team Hunt. We went down to St. George, Utah because Cherie's family moved from Iowa to St. George, Utah. So we're a little closer to Mimi and Papa for the kids. They had a great, great time with them. But I was having a wonderful, wonderful time and things are going fantastic. Until I got to that traffic right outside of Las Vegas. Anybody been in that traffic before? Like I'm telling you, right? Like that is what anger management should be like for immersion therapy. You know what I'm saying? Like that is crazy stuff. But what's so funny about that whole experience is that, I mean, I was coming off of a great few days with my in-laws, but a great few days overall was pretty good. And I was feeling good, I was feeling thankful, I was feeling full, but when I hit that traffic, it was all over, man. I went from Thanksgiving happy to Black Friday crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that stuff just switches. And I don't know about you, but this can happen to me all the time. I'm generally a really peppy, positive guy, but there are some things that will affect me and drive me absolutely nuts. For instance, bad customer service. I can't stand that. Just be nice, you know? I can't stand it. Or how about spelling errors on school newsletters? Anybody, right? It's a school. Somebody proof that thing. I'm going nuts. Or when I have to tell my kids to do something 49 times. Can I get an amen from any parent in the room today, right? Right, adult or child, you get it how this is. Or, my man, like anybody that doesn't wipe down their stuff at the gym after they're done using it, come on now, I don't want my sweaty on your sweaty, nasty, right? Just wipe it down a little bit, it drives me to go nuts. And all of those things can rob me of having a really good attitude and turn me into a grumpy grumperson, like just like that. And I'll tell you right now, I hate that about myself. I cannot stand that about myself. Because in that moment, I almost have an out-of-body experience where I see like the Brian I want to be over there, and then I'm sitting in the stew of bad attitude, Brian, right here. You know, this is where I want to be, but this is where I'm at, and it drives me nuts because I know that I'm killing this moment. I'm not experiencing what God wants me to experience more than anything else in this world because of it, and what I'm missing out on is joy. And I know right now some people are rolling their eyes, like, oh man, he's going to use a churchy word today. We're going to talk about joy. I'm going to check out. I'm going to look at my Instagram a little bit. Like, just hang on a little bit. Because this affects you deeply, deeply, if you actually think about it. Because if you're honest with yourself, you know exactly what it is when I say the word joy. You know exactly what I'm talking about, but at the same time, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You do. Because frankly, what is joy? Like what is joy? See, joy is something that you know when you have it and instantly know when it's gone. You just do. But in a lot of ways, it's indescribable. It's something that once you get a taste of it, you can never get enough. You can never be satisfied with enough joy. A few weeks ago, I asked some people on my Insta, my Facebook account, I said, hey, listen, what are you doing when you experience joy? And the answers were unbelievable. The list was just so lengthy. Just here's a few. Some people said spending time with family. Serving in any way, spending time with my granddaughters, listening to my daughters laugh in the other room, watching my son have fun, blessing other people when they don't know it's me, looking at my baby while they sleep. Endless amounts of things that bring us joy. But did you notice something very interesting about all those answers? Not one of them was selfish, were they? Not one of them said, you know what? I find so much joy in arguing with my wife. It is the best thing ever. I'm so joyful when I'm buying clothes I don't need. I'm so joyful when I, you know, I get that year-end bonus. Like, no, it's nothing about that. Granted, Miss T, our children's director, a wonderful, wonderful woman, said that she finds a great deal of joy of hanging up on telemarketers this time of year. Anybody else, right? So if you're a telemarketer here, we will have prayer people available for you because they're, you know, whew, I'm kidding, but I'm not. Like, I don't know, right? See, but when people experience true joy, it's always something other than themselves. Friends, family, taking in the beauty of creation, holding a child, or just sitting back and being thankful for what God has done in your life. I mean, joy is always about others, but it always finds its roots in God. See, I believe that you cannot experience joy unless you have your life rooted in God. Mother Teresa once said this. She said, joy is prayer, joy is strength, joy is love, joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. That's good. And this is true because you cannot experience joy apart from God. Because joy is what, check this out, what God bacon wraps our life with. He does. You know what I'm talking about. For instance, like, you know, like if you have a hot dog, you feed those to your kids when you're kind of like between meals or you don't really love them all that much in the moment. Like you give them, I do it all the time. Like we have hot dogs all the time. That's a normal thing. But if you put bacon wrap around that thing, woo, you'd feed that to the queen, wouldn't you? A bacon wrap hot dog, that's some good stuff. Or how about this? How about shrimp? You know, shrimp by itself, you know, you might dip some of this in like that red stuff over a napkin as you're talking about stuff. Little appetizer, you know, kind of thing. But if you wrap that thing in bacon, whoo, I'm telling you, Martha Stewart could come over and you're like, my bacon wrapped shrimp, you know. How about kale? Like kale, like this is like eating a deconstructive loofah sponge. You know what I mean? Like that's what it tastes like. But you wrap that thing in bacon. Okay, kale, you can't even, like, you can't, kale is, it's worthless. You can't even do anything with it. Like, nothing, okay? It's terrible, but that's what God does in our life, though, with joy. Think about it. Our families are awesome. You wrap them in a little godly joy bacon, they become so much sweeter. Your kids, we love our kids, but you wrap them with God's joy, they're all together something different. Our life is great, but if you wrap it with God's joy, it has purpose and passion and meaning like never before. See, joy makes everything sweeter. And the sweet joy is only found in God. It's only found when you know who Jesus is. And guess what? No one can take that from us when we are found in him. But the saddest thing I see in this life is that with the knowledge that joy comes from God, we still tend to allow our joy to be taken from us. Now notice that I said, allow our joy to be taken from us and not that it was taken from us. It's important because if we're found in Jesus, then that eternal joy is ours to keep. We hold the rights to that because we are now adopted sons and daughters of Christ. But so often in our life, we allow someone else to take the bacon off of our life and we find ourselves miserable. We find ourselves eating a plain hot dog with a shrimp on a bed of kale. I see it all the time. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see joy-filled, Jesus-loving people that are miserable because they've allowed someone or something to steal their joy from them. But how's that possible? Why would we let that happen? It's a great question. It's exactly what I want us to look at today, especially as we start to crescendo toward this Christmas time of year, when we should be singing joy to the world, but in reality, what we're saying is, who in the world stole my joy? That's what happens all the time. How do we avoid this? How do we avoid having someone like liposuction the joy out of our life? How do we avoid that? Well, to do that, I want us to look what Paul tells us in Galatians 5. And as we read this today, we're going to notice four things that Paul says that we need to guard our joy against. I'll call them joy suckers. So listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So to begin with, we need to understand what Paul is talking about here. He's writing to a church in Galatia that originally was actually doing pretty good. But something has gone sideways and caused them to steer off course, which is what Paul actually tells us in chapter 1 of this. He says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Paul is astonished in what he's hearing about these people because Galatia had stopped listening to the message of Jesus that Paul had told them, and now they're listening to a corrupted message from somebody totally different. And the message was that in order to be a Christian, you had to be a Jew first. And in order to be Jewish, you had to follow all the laws. And in order to follow all the laws, that meant if you were a male, you had to be circumcised. So, needless to say, that was a little touchy subject for some of the dudes that wanted to follow Jesus, which every guy in the room would be like, yeah, that's probably a deal breaker when it comes to, you know, following Jesus in the circumcision thing, you know? Now, do we see why Paul was astonished, though? Can we see why? It's because he didn't teach them any of that. He didn't tell them any of that. They had taken the pure, straightforward message of the gospel and had tried to add to it, to make it better, to have some things that people had to do, which is the first thing that we see, is the first joy sucker we need to avoid, and that is legalism. Joy sucker number one is legalism. If you want to have the joy sucked out of your life, then weigh yourself down with more rules and having to try to do more in order to be joyful. Paul says, Jesus has already made you free, so why are you voluntarily going back into slavery with all these new rules? I mean, when we add things to Jesus to our life, we are wrapping it with counterfeit joy. Guys, it would be like wrapping it with turkey bacon or chicken bacon or vegan bacon or it's not real, okay? See, listen to it this way. When we make our life about what we have to do, we forget about what Jesus already did. We need to remember that. We don't find joy in trying harder. We find joy when we settle in to who we are in Christ. And then we will live and serve and give and enjoy the life God has given us, not needing anything more or anything less than what he gives us. We got to guard our joy against having to feel like we need to earn more of God's love by what we do in this life. See, the beautiful message of the gospel is that we will never be able to earn enough or do enough to earn God's love. This is exactly why Jesus died for us, exactly why he gave us grace, because grace is the undeserved gift that we can't earn from God, but that he gives us freely through Jesus. So listen, so trying to do more is not possible to do. But in reality, it's also telling Jesus that during this painful death, that this wasn't really enough for you to do. In fact, there's more that I have to do to make myself happy. Imagine just the audacity of this, would you? Let's imagine that we're back when Jesus is being crucified for our sins and he's up on the cross and we can look up into his face and we say, boy, thanks for all of this. But you know what? I really think I need to volunteer a little bit more to be able to kind of cover the rest of whatever this isn't covering. You know, Jesus, I know this looks super painful. Appreciate what you're doing right now. But I might need to give a little bit more to the homeless to maybe even the scales out a little bit, okay? Or, you know, better yet, you know, listen, I know you're up there. Those nails are probably really painful right now. But I just think if I think better thoughts or if I'm a little nicer or I'm a little bit more tolerant, that'll probably work out a little bit better than all of this going on. Imagine telling Jesus that. No, what Jesus did was enough. And resting in that truth is where our joy is found. So joy sucker number one is legalism. Joy sucker number two is actually found in verse 7. Jump to verse 7 with me where it says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Although we don't know much about Paul's personal life, what we do know is that if he was here today, he probably would be a marathon runner of some sort. Dude was always talking about running all the time. He's like the Forrest Gump of the Bible. You know, like he was always running. And he would use this running analogy all the time. And he would describe our relationship with Jesus with it. And he would say, you need to persevere through life. You need to finish the race well and keep your eyes fixed ahead of you. But in Galatians, he actually breaks away from the motivational and he speaks to the confrontational. He says, hey, who cut you off when you were running with Jesus? Who cut you off? And if you've ever watched an Olympic race, you know, like a marathon race or anything, you know there's elbows flying all the time with those things. And most of the time, it's just part of competition, you kind of deal with it. But from time to time, there will be somebody that tries to wedge themselves in there and they cause the whole thing to be like a big old pile of runners. Like you'll either have like a mangled pile of skinny legs and bones desperately needing an In-N-Out burger, like all together. Or they'll just make everybody break stride a little bit. You know, they just kind of ruin it. So Paul is saying, listen, people of Galatia, why in the world are you listening to these people that are cutting in on your relationship with Jesus by telling you this about the circumcision stuff? What are you doing? It's getting you off course. And oh, by the way, it's stealing your joy. And that question could easily be asked of you and I by Jesus himself. When he says, hey, who cut in on you? Who stole your joy in your life? Which brings me to the second joy sucker we have to avoid against, and this is it, toxic people. We need to be aware of toxic people. Quite frankly, this could be the hardest one to deal with, especially around the holidays, right? It so could, because you might literally be sitting across from a toxic joy sucker and be passing them the pumpkin pie at Christmas dinner. And they might even have the same last name as you, you know? It's that bad. Toxic people are the people in your life that snatch your joy right in front of your face and you let them do it. Time and time again, you let them steal your joy. It happens to me. Might have happened at Thanksgiving. Right, it happened to me and it could happen to you. So what do you do? Like really, what do you do? Well, the first thing you need to do is be able to identify who they are. And Craig Rochelle wrote a great book called Soul Detox. And in one of his chapters, he talks about the toxic trinity. These are three types of toxic relationships or people that will suck the joy right out of your life if you're not careful. And those three types of toxic people are, number one is the chronic critic. Chronic critics. These are the people that will find a fault in everything. I mean everything. They could find a fault in the sunrise over the Rockies, you know? It's just so glaring. I don't know what to do, right? You know who these people are. You instantly know who these people are. You have them in your life, so just be careful. They will suck the joy right out of you, and you are letting them do it. Number two, chronic critics, and we also have controllers. Controllers. Controllers are overbearing, forcing their way and their opinions on you regardless of your will, Rochelle says. I mean, again, you know exactly who these people are. And when you're around them, you could feel your joy slowly ebbing out of your life. They dominate the conversations. They always get the last word. They always get to choose where you go to dinner. Their fish is always bigger that they caught. Their car is always faster. They always know every answer on Jeopardy, or they will turn the channel before the answer is there. Like, you know who these are. But sometimes these people are your parents that you've never been able to get their approval. And they control your life even now, even though you're 35 with a family and a house and everything on your own. It could be your girlfriend or boyfriend that control. It's always their way all the time, and they will never, ever bend. Controllers like to control things, and that includes your joy too. Finally, that last type of people is the tempter. The chronic critic, the controller, and the tempter. Rochelle says, this is the person that encourages you to do things that you know you shouldn't and may not normally even want to do. These are the people that will play off your insecurities, your defects, your weaknesses to get you to come down to their joyless level. They have no joy in their life, so they want to make sure that you don't either. And this is when you find yourself in places that you shouldn't be, doing things that you shouldn't be doing, gossiping about other people, even thinking things that were never even there just by being around them. Tempters are the kind of people that will push and prod and pick at you until you can't stand it anymore, and you will finally give up your joy, so they will finally leave you alone. And while it's easy to identify these people, it's even harder to know what to do with them. Because in most cases, you can't cut out these people out of your life because they might be family members or coworkers, or you might be married to them. Eyes up here, right? But what we can do is to understand how we guard our hearts against them. We can place boundaries around our relationships so they don't get control of our joy, since they have no right touching it in the first place. And we'll talk a little bit more about this here in a second. But the third joy sucker is also important for us to know. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, then that kind of persuasion does not come from one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Paul says you have to be careful about how people affect you, because if you're not careful, they will affect every part of your life. He actually uses this example of yeast working through the entire batch of dough. And no, this is not a commercial for going gluten-free, okay? It's not, all right? In fact, if you're gluten-free here today, I will take your gluten. I like to be gluten-full as much as I possibly can. So just bring it on as much as you want. No, what he's referring to here is actually the Passover meal. Because in this time, yeast or leaven was actually associated as a symbol of evil. Because if even a little bit of leaven, a little bit of yeast got into the dough, you'd instantly know it was there because it would rise. So they would sweep the house looking for every hint of yeast so that it wouldn't taint the bread at all. So what Paul is saying here is that if you are a believer and you even have a little bit of this false gospel that gets into your life, it's going to start to affect you. In fact, it might even affect the entire church, he's telling Galatians. And the same thing can happen to us in our joy if we're not careful about this next joy sucker. And that's joy sucker number three, that is negative thoughts. You have to guard against negative thoughts. I like how the New Century Version of the Bible has Proverbs 4:23, where it says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. What we think about is what we'll focus on. For example, let's just say that we decide collectively we're gonna climb a mountain. So in our minds, like, well, let's pretend we're climbing a mountain. So we're climbing a mountain, and as we ascend up a little bit higher, the air is getting more and more just pure, and it's beautiful to smell, and we get, it's hard, we're finally getting up there, and then we get up to the top of the mountain, and we look out, and it's unbelievable what we're able to see. Like, you can see for miles, an eagle flies by, and it's flying by, it winks at you as a way of saying, good job, man. You're like, it's a moment that you're having. But then all of a sudden, you start thinking, how high am I right now? And how am I going to get down? And if I start to go down, what if I slip and fall and I start hanging over a cliff? And if I'm hanging over a cliff, then a helicopter is going to have to find me. And what if they don't find me? Then I'm going to die. Like, can you see how quickly joy can get sucked out of a moment just by the negative thoughts that aren't even there? As if we're not careful about what we're thinking about, our natural tendency is to focus on the negative, the impossible, the joyless things in our life. It's the path of least resistance for our minds. You should just know that. As idealistic as we might think that we really are in our life, the truth is that our minds will always tend to go to the negative if we aren't consciously thinking about things that are positive. And guys, this isn't to like bury our heads in the sand and pretend like life is pretty and filled with dancing unicorns all the time in our life. No, real things happen. But even in the middle of difficult things, we can choose to have joy. Look at what James would tell us in James 1:2. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So even when we're facing difficult things, you and I, we can choose joy, and we can choose not to let anyone steal that, even in the midst of our challenge. Paul will tell us later in 2 Corinthians, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So in order to not let our thoughts run away with our joy, we take each thought captive as it tries to exit our brain. And if for some reason we find a little thievery of our joy in its pockets, we send it back to its sender so we keep our joy intact. There is no stealing of our joy. So that means that when we start to get a little bit anxious about not having enough money to be able to get all the Christmas presents our kids want, we choose our joy, and we choose to be content with whatever we have. When we start to think that our spouse might be cheating on us and might be leaving us, we keep our joy. We work hard at our marriage, and we choose to assume the best. When we start to be sad about the fact that we might be missing things from our childhood, things that we would love to be able to go back in time and do again, what we do is we choose joy. We choose to enjoy what God has given us in this moment. Keeping our thoughts focused on Christ and what truly matters is what helps us maintain our joy and keeping it from being sucked out with every negative thought we might think about. And then finally, we can see the final joy getting sucked out of our life as we look in verses 13 through 15. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So the final thing that Paul points out about this church is that because of this crazy new belief that's washing through the camp, they have stopped living up to the most important thing that Christ had called them to do. Jesus broke down his entire ministry into two ideas, and that was to love God and love people. That's it. We could live our entire life trying to do just those two things, and we would always have room to improve. Love God and love people. But notice something very important about those two commandments we just read. Love God and love people. Neither of them is focused on your benefit, is it? It's about God's benefit and other people's benefit. Which brings me to the final thing that we need to guard our joy against, and it's this. The fourth joy sucker is selfishness. Selfishness. The quickest way to see joy drained out of your life is to make your life all about you. See, life is most joyful when you are selfless, not selfish. If you want to find yourself being more satisfied and filled up, what you'll do is you will find things that will benefit other people rather than you. And guys, listen, they don't have to be big things either. They don't have to be big things at all. In fact, it could be something small that you do for somebody else. Exactly what this teacher taught a bunch of preschoolers about when they came into school every day. Take a look. See, isn't that great? Just something simple to bring somebody else joy. Guys, listen, the gospel is most seen in our lives through selflessness and love. Why? Because that's exactly what Jesus did while he was here. It's how he treated people. He loved people and he served them. I mean, do you know what joy actually really stands for? Joy stands for, it's when we choose Jesus over yourself. Choosing Jesus over yourself. If you want to feel the joy sucked out of you quicker than a Dyson vacuum cleaner convention, then I'm telling you, make this life all about you. Make it all about you. Paul would even go so far as to say, indulge the flesh, he would say. Indulge the flesh, go ahead. But you won't be fulfilled and you won't have joy. Guard your joy against selfishness and keep yourself focused on other people. Jesus over yourself. Because here's why all this matters. It's not about trying to keep that butterfly feeling in your stomach all the time and pretending everything is okay. Let's just be honest. Life's hard sometimes, and you don't always feel joyful. I mean, Shree and my kids can tell you 100% that there are times that I'm a grade-A jerk at home, and there ain't any joy in me. Like, I am a jerk. So the deeper importance of guarding our joy is to remember who we are living for as believers in Jesus and how we are to approach this life as a result. Paul would go on to tell us in verses 16 through 17, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Paul says, if you truly believe in Jesus, you can't satisfy both what the world tells you and what Jesus tells you. One or the other was going to have to suffer. And if you choose the world over Jesus, you should know your joy goes with Jesus. It's not transferable to the life that you want to live, however you want. Paul would even go so far as to say that, listen, they are in conflict with each other. They are contrary to each other. That they can't be in the same world. And when you allow outside joy suckers to influence you, then you're no longer under God's law. But we've chosen to live under a new law that actually controls you and will control your joy. But Paul says, listen, as believers in Jesus, it's a whole new ballgame. He says in verse 18, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Jesus freed us. He gave us joy. He took us out from the weight of legalism and toxic relationships and negative thoughts and selfishness. And the reason he can do that is because he came to set us free from the law of sin that had a stranglehold on our life. The law that says you have to do more and buy more and earn more and know more in order to be in my presence. Jesus took all that away, nailed it to the cross so that we could be free. Instead of a heavy weight of the law, Jesus gave us something completely new, which is in verses 23 through 26. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the essence of what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying that a life that is lived following him is fruitful. And one of the greatest fruits we see is joy. It's second only to love on the vine. But we have to consider and choose that in our life. As the great Henry Nouwen once said, he says that joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. Because this gives us a reality. that when we choose joy, things are different. See, we could choose joy when things get sketchy at work. We could choose joy when our cousin gets under our skin. We could choose joy when the heat won't come on in your house. We could choose joy when the diagnosis comes back negative. We could choose joy when we wish that our mom was still alive. We could choose joy if our house burnt to the ground. We could choose joy when the calendar says you are yet another year older. We can choose joy because we get to choose Jesus. Isn't that great to know that we could choose joy? But you know what else you could choose? You and I, we can choose not to let anything steal our joy either. We could choose that because our joy was bought with a price, and his name is Jesus. And in him, we are made complete and fully alive. So I am not going to let anything steal my joy, not when it's found in Jesus. So that is my hope for you, my hope for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, it's very simple. We don't deserve the life that you've given us, Father. But then you go ahead and give us Jesus. You give us Jesus who loves us, that died for us, and he bacon-wrapped our life with joy. God, we're so grateful that as we look at our life, that we know that there is more that is asked of us as believers in Jesus. But there's something exciting about that because there's purpose and passion and meaning found in knowing you. So God, as we enter into a time that we're supposed to reflect on you, this time of Christmas, and we're supposed to reevaluate our lives as we come to this new year, Father, would you allow us to remember that joy needs to be at the center of it, love needs to be at the center of it, and that no one deserves or has the right to steal that from us. May we be confident in who you are, excited about a joy-wrapped life, and may we never, ever let anyone steal our joy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dude, that was awesome, man. Ain't nothing gonna steal our joy, right? Hey, have a seat, have a seat. Listen, that's what I hope that you have as you leave here today in a few minutes. That you have that song in your mind that says, ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Because listen, there's gonna be some things and people that want your joy. And guess what? They ain't gonna do anything with it. They're just gonna kind of throw it on the side. They just don't want you to be filled with joy. So God says, listen, keep your hands off. Ain't yours. Enjoy the joy that you have God's given you. Enjoy and embrace it. Listen, I'm gonna tell you, something's gonna bring you joy. Next week, we're starting a brand new series called At the Movies here at Crossroads. And what we do is we find a movie, a Christmas movie, we find the spiritual thread, and we elevate the name of Jesus through it all. We have some fun as we do it. So I'm excited to announce the first movie that we're going to do next week. So take a look. All right, all right, all right. It's going to be a great time. Now listen, if you've never been here for At the Movies, let me lay the ground rules or groundwork, okay? We don't put these online. You'll never see them. The only way you can see them is if you come to church, okay? The other thing is we can't put a lot of stuff out there because we don't want to go to jail. And so we want you guys to be able to come and enjoy it. But we're going to have a great, great time. Invite some people. We'll have some stuff online for you to do that. If you haven't given your popcorn away, make sure you do that. Other things are coming. But guys, listen, we're entering into the season of joy. So let's do it up well. Let's do it up Crossroads style. And let's see what happens when we just spread some joy all over the Central Valley. Amen? Hey, listen, have a great week. God bless you guys. Tag, you're it.